Amen. Amen. Well, all right, if you could find 3 John. 3 John, and our text will be verses 5 through 8. 3 John, verses 5 through 8. Reading from the ESV, it says, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for this morning is a gospel ministry worthy of support. A gospel ministry worthy of support. Now, you may remember from last week, Pastor John, or Elder John, if you prefer, expressed his genuine love for his close friend and church member Gaius in verse 1. He says, "Gaius, whom I love in truth." And so he has loved Gaius in truth. We also saw that Pastor John assured Gaius that he is praying for God's best for him, both spiritually and physically. He wants God's best for his friend, so he also must pray in truth. And then finally last week we saw that Pastor John has commended his close friend for obeying God in very difficult circumstances, challenging circumstances at his church. And so he commends him for walking in truth. So we learned last week that friendships, prayer, and our lifestyles must be according to the truth. According to the truth. You remember, truth is one of the major themes working through these 3 letters. Truth. And so today we're going to see John describe how Gaius demonstrates his love. He's commended him for love, and now we're going to see some details in how he demonstrates this love. And he begins with what I call the commendation. Verses 5 and 6 is a commendation from Pastor John to his close friend Gaius. Remember, he says, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church." So he begins commending John for his love for strangers. His love for strangers. In the New Testament, it's the word hospitality. The word in Greek would be philoxenia. Philoxenia, phonetically spelled P-H-O-L-E-X. P-H-O-L-X-E-N-I-A, philoxenia. It means a love for strangers. Literally, a love for strangers. And here's the situation. Itinerant preachers or traveling preachers were dependent upon other believers for lodging and food. They depended upon other Christians to help them, to assist them by providing lodging and food, because they had very little money. You cannot believe the doctrine that's being taught and preached today that would say Christians in the first century were rich and Christ was rich. That's not true. Gaius then would provide accommodation for these brothers. Because he loved them. He loved God, and he loved his neighbor, and he was being obedient to the truth of verses like Romans 12:13. It says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That's right. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And that truth would then work its way out in Gaius's life as he provided accommodations for these brothers. And he no doubt knew verses like Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Right, these two truths then would be worked out in his life as he would provide these accommodations. They were strangers, but he was willing to help these brothers in Christ. Here's another thing that you need to be aware of. Hospitality also involved vouching for the character, the godly character of your guest. So you had to be discerning in regard to those that would stay with you. You vouched for their character in letting them stay there. So you couldn't just let anyone into your home because you were vouching for their character and their personality. You see, love for strangers does not mean you love without discernment. That's foolishness to think you just take anybody in when God is showing you there's some problems here. Then you can't blame God because you took someone in and they stole, or they caused serious damage. That's God isn't calling us to be foolish. Calling us to be obedient. Now, there are risks, right? Always risk when you open your heart up. But it's better to err on the side of mercy than to close yourself in and not be willing to take a risk on helping people. Well, Pastor Willie, I'm confused. Are we to do it or not? Yes. But you have to be led by the Spirit. That's what Christians don't like to do nowadays. Be led by the Spirit. There is no cookie cutter. I can't stand here and tell you all of the ways that this is to be done. Be led. I can tell you God says do it. Love strangers, but be led by the Spirit. So he had to write. He had to write to the church in 2 John. Because he did not want them to think that you just take anybody in your house. In 2 John, he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him a greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. You see that? You're not to take everyone in. Because there were false traveling preachers too. Traveling and preaching their false doctrine. He said, take in brothers like these. You agree with that? Yes. Even though we have to be discerning, a stranger in Christ is always our brother or sister, and we should welcome them. You may have never met them, but if they are in Christ, they are your brother and your sister. Amen. So he commends him for his love for strangers. Then he commends him for his faithfulness to strangers. You see how it reads? It is a faithful thing you do in all your works. Gaius was not fickle. He was not inconsistent when it came down to being hospitable. He didn't just do this once and then close his heart. He was consistent in his love for those traveling preachers, those traveling teachers when they came to town. They could count on Gaius's love and his willingness to provide accommodations. His love for strangers was revealed through his hospitality. And what happened? Those brothers went back to their home church, and the Bible says they gave testimony before the church. That's the right thing to do. When God has been good to you, when God has blessed you, you need to be willing to give God the glory and let God's people know. Thanksgiving shouldn't be the only time that people can stand up and thank God for how good. Is that the only time that you remember how good God has been? We have reason to thank God for His goodness, and it ought to be done. God's people ought to know. These brothers went back to their home church, and they told them that this brother had been good to them. In our culture, preachers that travel, leaders and teachers that travel, typically stay in hotels. They don't typically stay with church members. You notice that? And actually, the church is beginning to lose this whole spirit of hospitality. We're taking on the spirit of our time. Christians are becoming independent just like the world. I got mine, and what? You get yours. We are becoming isolated like the world. What goes on in my house is what? My business. Is that the spirit of Christ? I worked hard for my stuff. Now, that's a good thing. But why did God give it to you? We need to think about why would God entrust you with what you have if He didn't plan for you to share? So we need to ask God to search our hearts and see if we as a people have not taken on the spirit of our time. Could a stranger come and stay at your house? Not just an hour or two. What about a day or two? Or a week or two? You see how far we've drifted? I'll give you a meal. But after that, we need to find you somewhere to go. See, that's the definition of hospitality in our culture. I'd rather give you my credit card and find your hotel than let you stay at my house. Now think about it. That's the spirit of our time. So I knew this wasn't going to be an exciting topic today. But I believe God is preparing us for what's ahead. You believe that? God prepares His people for what's ahead? We need to look for ways to be hospitable. Look for ways to share your home. Change your definition. Don't think of hospitality as having another Christian couple over for cake and ice cream. Stop defining. Use the biblical definition of hospitality. Let's measure ourselves by the Bible, not by each other. Isn't that what Paul said? Stop comparing yourselves to each other.
Well, I opened up my home more than you. Is that the standard?
For some of you young Christians, you may say, well, I don't have a home yet. That's all right. The spirit of hospitality goes as far as the things that you possess. How can you share? How can you share with your brothers and sisters in need that are doing the gospel work? So that's the commendation. I see an exhortation. And I know you didn't think this text was gone here, but this is right here. The exhortation is this: support missionaries in biblical ministry. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 8. Therefore, we ought to support people like these. Is that what your Bible says? I looked up virtually every translation, and that's what virtually every translation says. We ought to support people like these. That's not a New Hope Baptist Church doctrine. Amen. For those of y'all who wonder, why are we so consistent with this thing? Why do we keep pressing this matter? Because God says so. We ought to support missionaries in biblical ministry. Does your verse 8 say that? Yes? All right. See, I know you don't want to talk on this one, but I want you to say it with your own mouth. If it's right, you say amen. And God honors that. I didn't ask you where you were. You see, I got work to do too. That's not the point. When we hold the mirror of the word up, we want to see clearly where we need to be. See what's wrong. That's the only way I'm going to be helped. And if I see a flaw, I say, yes, Lord, I see it. Not in you, I see it in me. And I say, amen to God. So we ought to, the word ought, ophelo, the word means to be under obligation to someone. And listen to me, this is an important word. I mentioned hospitality because that's an important word, but ought is an important word. It means to be under obligation. It means to owe someone. What does this mean? You and I are under obligation to support missionaries. It's not because we stand up here and ask you to do it. God says you owe it to me. Now, you remember how you were thrilled when, as Pastor Bryant was praying these truths to us about what Christ has done for us, that to have your all of your sins forgiven, to know that your future is secure, to know that God has taken care of your past, to know that He's going to keep you now, to make sure you're securely brought to heaven. You thank God for that, but then you owe it to Him to obey Him. Jesus said, if you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. This is one of them. You and I ought to support missionaries and biblical ministry. Now, you already saw, we don't support everybody. There's lots of folks that are going out that God didn't send them out. And they get out there and get in trouble, and they want somebody to say, well, that ain't, he didn't say that. He didn't say support everybody. He said support people like these. That's the reason we take time and try to scrutinize and see what people believe and see if we can, with a clear conscience, support them. We don't bring them before you if we cannot, if we don't have a clear conscience about supporting them. Why do y'all do that? That's what the Bible says. It says don't support everybody. We're under obligation to support godly missionaries who are doing the will of God. Support them with your prayer. Support them with your money. Support them with to help them meet their needs. We are under obligation. So that's the first exhortation, support missionaries in biblical ministry. The second exhortation is support missionaries willingly and generously. Look at the end of verse 6. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. In a manner. Why would he put that little phrase in there? He could have just said, send them on their way. But he says, no, send them on a way in a manner worthy of God. In a manner worthy. In a manner that demonstrates these brothers belong to God. These brothers are doing God's will. God's will. These brothers are in service to God. They're in service to the Creator, the one who made this entire universe. They're in service to the Sovereign, the one who's ruling the universe. They're in service. Again, you remember the prayer? They're in service to the God that owns the cattle, the hills, the cattle. He says, all silver and gold is mine. He owns it all. He owns your money, my money, everybody's money. And he said, you owe it to me to take care. So we can't just rejoice because of what God is doing for us. He says, now as I have loved you, love others. Freely you receive, freely you. That's not the spirit of our time. Right now, everybody's cutting back. I got to save my money. Let me ask you something. You're saving money, what are you going to do with it? You going to go put it in the bank? What do you do with money you're saving? Where can you put it? Think about that. Think about the foolishness of storing up money. If there's ever been a time that you see the vanity of that, you ought to see it now. Money takes wings. It's gone. Don't put your hopes in it. I'll tell you something else. People got their hopes in these jobs. My job's secure. Show me a secure job. You best invest now. Use the income that God is giving you now for His will. Store up treasures in heaven. What is that? Test me. Test me. Test me on this. Don't try to figure it out. Test me and see if I won't take care of you. Do what I tell you to do and see if... Listen, come on, Christian. If God owns it all, how is it that He can't take care of you? Just because you can't figure it out doesn't mean He can't take care of you. I can tell you that. Been taking care of me for 7 years, and I don't know from month to month how He's going to do it. You got to trust Him. Support Him in a manner that demonstrates they're in service. Look, missionaries are personally engaged in redemptive work. They are serving God for the redemption of souls. They're taking gospel. Oh my, come on. This is the most important work in the world. What could be more important than the salvation of a soul and the help of those who are saved? Those who heard the gospel, they don't have a Bible. They don't know it. They don't know how to live. What could be more important than helping a newborn child in Christ get a Bible? There's a lot of good causes that you could support, but God says this is one you should support. There's a lot of things that flash on your TV that you could support, but God said this is one you should support.
So don't just funnel money and things that you could support and thinking your conscience is soothed when you're not doing the things you should do. Christians get guilty consciences and they start trying to get that guilt off. But it's not going to happen if you don't obey God. The church must support missionaries and evangelists willingly and generously. Missionaries that love Christ and live by faith should be supported by the church even when the church is in trouble. Even when the church is going through trials and confusion. This church, y'all remember? We looked at this at the beginning. This church has some major problems. They got a church split going on. Members are leaving. The church is shrinking. Obviously, the income is less. They got false teachers. Members are all in a mess. John says, don't stop supporting missionaries. You can't stop the things you should do just because you're going through troubles in your church. Amen. Can't stop doing the things you should do just because you're going through troubles in your home. That's right. All right, so that's the commendation, the exhortation. Then I had one last little segment here I called an explanation. I believe that John gives three reasons for us to support missionaries. We're going to move quickly. I didn't realize that time was getting away. Three reasons that we ought to support missionaries. You ready? Reason number one. We need to support missionaries because they are taking the message and the will of Jesus to people. They're taking the message and the will of Jesus to people. All right? I see that in verse 7. For they have gone out for the sake of the name. They have gone out. They didn't sit around in the walls. In the church, they've gone out to take the message to the people. They've gone out to take the will of Jesus to people, because even folks saved need help. I need to make sure this is clear. You understand this? Missionaries are not just out to save the lost. There are churches out there that need help too. Churches that you got infant churches out there that they don't know what to do. They need people to come in and help them, to teach their leaders. We need people to go. And we need to support them because they are out there on the front line. These missionaries have sacrificed comforts and security to take the gospel message to the lost and to encourage Christians with the truth. Who is this name? They've done this for the sake of the name. Why do you think John didn't have to tell them who the name was? Why would any Christian have to tell another person, when you say in the name, why would any Christian have to tell another Christian who that is? It can be no other than the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow that is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the name. They've gone out in the name of Jesus. That's one of the reasons we support them. Jesus is both the motivation and the message. I love him. That's why I go. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about him. I'm here because I love him, and I'm here to talk about him. It's Jesus. He's the reason. That's the point. Support them because they're taking the message and the will of Jesus to people. The second reason we'll support them is because they're trusting God for provision. Did you notice the end of verse 7 when I read it? They've gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. They are trusting God for their provision. Listen to me. I know this is going to step on some toes, but my job is not to dodge your toes. They did not, and we should not, seek or depend upon unbelievers to finance gospel ministry. They did not, and we should not depend upon unbelievers to finance gospel ministry. They didn't go to the they didn't go to the Roman government and say, hey, brother, can you help us out? Let me send you a letter trying to define what we're trying to do here. They didn't do that. They didn't go to the local businesses and say, could you fund our mission? They didn't go to the organizations. They didn't go to the wealthy unbelievers in the community and say, hey, you want to give something for Jesus? Now, I know right now you're saying, oh, I'm cool with that. They didn't have car washes. They didn't have bake sales. What, fried chicken? Fish fries? Now, you say, well, preacher, why are you... I'm saying to you, you need to see that we have gradually taken on the spirit of the world. When you do those things, you are going to unbelievers for them to finance God's work. Well, preacher, why is that so important? Listen to me. God's name and reputation is at stake. You're saying that we're doing God's business. What God? The God of the universe, the God who says he owns all the silver and gold. Well, why you got to come begging to me if your God is the God you're talking about? Not only that, God has said he will supply what? All our needs. Now, either he will or he won't. But he plans to wait now. He plans to supply it through us. See, don't go getting hyper spiritual. Well, then God can just send some money over there to them. He plans to supply it through us, not through the Gentiles. They are taking the message and the will of Jesus to people. They are trusting God for provisions. And then the last reason is that we become fellow workers with them. You see that at the end of verse 8? That we may become fellow workers for the truth. We cooperate and participate in the progress of the gospel when we support missionaries in biblical ministry. We become joined together with them in this redemptive work. They need to know they're not alone. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Think of your, I really want you all to think now. Come on, think with me just a minute. Now, there is no particular age group for a missionary. There are many, quote, retirees that are missionaries. People in their 60s, 70s, 80s. There are also young people in their 20s. Some teens have even taken courageously gone to the mission field. Now, you're over there doing God's work. You need to know you're not alone. God's people are with you. I mean, you want to know that here, don't you? If we do work here, you want to know God's people are with you. Certainly you would want to know that if you were away. So they need to know they are not alone. They need to know that we are co-laborers with them, using our money, using our skills, using our means, using our gifts. We are with them. What's your point, Brother Willie? Missionaries need us, and we need missionaries. We're in it together. You agree with that? Well, that was a lot longer than I anticipated, but just give me another minute or two. We have, by God's grace, we haven't had much opportunity here to house missionaries this past year or so to demonstrate our hospitality in a tangible way in our homes. But we have joined to them to support them with our money, with our gifts, with the things that God has given us. And I've just got two letters. You all know we support four different missionary groups, but we got a couple of thank you letters in last week, and I thought it'd be good for you to hear. Is that all right? One of the missions
efforts that we support is called the Worldwide Christian School. Some of you will remember Joshua Abiene, the friend that I met at Covenant Seminary, and became, we realized he was a dear brother and dear to our hearts, and he had a school that he was getting started, had been going in Nigeria. So this ministry supports that school and other schools in Nigeria. And here's a letter that they sent to us, dated January 29, 2009. Dear friends, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for supporting Worldwide Christian Schools financially during 2008. Contributions to Worldwide Christians, the WWCS, during this past year helped to create or build additions to 56 schools in 17 countries. Operational assistance was provided to schools benefiting more than 10,700 students throughout 12 countries. We are grateful to God for using you. We contributed several thousand dollars to this ministry. This little membership of less than 100 folks. Secondly, this one is from the Seed Company. This is a ministry of Wycliffe Bible Translators. The Worldwide Christian Schools provides Christian education, which includes the gospel, for children to be saved. You see, we're not just trying to educate people. They teach the gospel in these schools. Some of these children have to walk 20, 30, 40 miles to get to school. So they have to provide accommodations for them. Not like our children that don't want to walk to the bus stop. Oh, forget the bus stop. They don't want to go out in the car when it's cold. They want you to go warm the car up before you go. The Seed Company says, "Dear friends, on the other side of the Pacific, in a remote mountain jungle, Bible translators are achieving generation-long dreams for their community. The Ketning people, who received their completed New Testament 20 years ago, are now working on an Old Testament for the eager churches in their community." Then they go on to say, "Your faithful partnership during this last year's financial uncertainty reflects your kingdom priorities and God's abundant supply." You see who got the glory? God's abundant supply. We are deeply grateful. I believe both of these ministries are supporting efforts in Nigeria. And do you all know we contributed several thousand dollars to this ministry too, in addition to two others that we contributed several thousand dollars. This little congregation of less than 100 people, all it takes is just being faithful. You thankful to God for that? I know I'm long. We all bear with me, just, all right? I want to remind you of something. You all remember last Sunday? We had a homeless man here. How many took time to get to know him? How many of you know he was a brother in Christ? How many of you know he was a preacher? How many of you know that he thought he was following God's will when he came here? How many of you know that he had made up his mind that all the churches in St. Louis were cruel and mean and cold-hearted? Every Christian organization had put him out. He slept in the bus station for 2 days, slept over here in the airport for 2 days. Nobody would feed him. Went to Larry Rice and all these. So he had concluded, there's no church in St. Louis who obeys God, who loves Christ, and who will even help me. And he happened to be walking down the street. The Spirit of God told him to turn in here. For him to find out, you made a wrong assessment about, just like Elijah, you think that there's nobody here, but I got some who still love me. We helped that brother get back home. you and me. Why? Because you faithfully give. Don't minimize what God will do when you obey Him. So then, my beloved brother, sister, what's your perspective and your position on this issue? Are you like Gaius? Is your heart open to hospitality? Do you welcome, entertain, and love strangers in your home? Strangers in Christ, particularly what I'm speaking of. Do you consider strangers in Christ, and particularly those who have gone out in the mission field, worthy of your support? Do you support missions right here at New Hope Baptist Church? Do you support them financially? Do you support them willingly and generously? One last thing for you to think about. If God was standing before you today, would He commend you for your support for His missionaries in this world, right now? If your answer is yes, then I tell you, you ought to thank God that He changed your heart to make your heart open to be hospitable, to make your heart willing to give and to share. You ought to thank God, because it's obviously not of us. God did it. He deserved it. You see what this letter said? Thank God for His abundant supply. And if God changes our heart to give, He gets the glory, not us. Thank God if He has changed your heart to make you willing and generous to support gospel ministries and taking the gospel to all nations. But I'm sure there's everybody here can't say yes. If your answer is no, you don't support it, you don't see any value in it, then I tell you, you need to ask God to forgive your sin. Well, brother preacher, how can you call that sin? I just told you, God has commanded us to do this. When you disobey God, what is that? Sin. You're not disobeying the preacher. No, I don't want you to... You shouldn't feel any pressure from the preacher here. If you don't support God's people, you're disobeying Him. Not the preacher, not New Hope. You're disobeying God. You need to ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to change your heart. You know the wonderful thing is? He'll do it. If you ask Him, He'll do it. Ask Him to give you greater love for God, greater love for the lost, greater love for God's people who need your help. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then my friend, you are still lost. You are still lost. And the saving truth of the gospel is right here today for you. You only need to believe. If you will believe on Jesus, the gospel speaks to you. Jesus says, believe on me and you will be saved. Will you trust Him today? Will you believe Him with your whole heart? This is not a game. The redeemed people are not traveling hundreds and thousands of miles to take the gospel to the lost because it's a game. You are here right now. You have the gospel in your hearing. Jesus is being preached to you. Will you believe Him today? Will you believe Him and be saved? If you are not a member of a church, we'd love to have you join us. We'd love to have you come on board and participate in this gospel work with us. May God encourage your heart
wherever you are and whatever your state, to obey him today. Father, thank you for this time that we have together. Lord, I thank you for the great privilege of participating in this massive worldwide outreach, taking our little gifts and using it around the globe for your glory. Thank you for changing our hearts to make us willing, willingly and generously give, that souls might be saved and that churches might be helped and encouraged and built up in their faith. Increase our faith, Lord, that we would still be even more generous. Increase our faith to open not only our hearts but our homes as you give opportunities for strangers in Christ to be helped in our own personal environments. Show us the way. Show us where the spirit of these times may have crept in and caused us to think more like the world than like people in the kingdom. Work it out for your glory, for the good of our souls. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen.